Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the word. Thank you for our families and friends in the Lord. We ask your blessing or bless our bodies today, for we thank you and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hope is a powerful dynamic. Now, there's two types of hope. There is that which is outside of you. Regardless of how you think or feel or what experience you're going through in your mind, you could actually be in the most miserable situations. Your body hurts, your brain hurts, you're depressed, you're despairing, everything looks black, you know, that. But there is still hope going on, and we call that objective hope. So it's something that God does for you outside of you. Now, Job, if you read the book of Job, and I'm sure you have, Job was a despairing man. Despair is the opposite of hope. And Job's mental state was no hope whatsoever. He was depressed, he was sad, he'd given up, sad for so many reasons. But did Job have hope in his life? The hope was outside of him. The hope was what God was going to do for him in the future. There was hope because he was going to maybe marry a different woman, maybe the same woman, but he had 10 more kids. And he doubled the money that he had before. And he lived twice as long, so he had good health. As we read the end of the book from the beginning, he had never gotten to the end of it. So as he was experiencing it, he was experiencing despair. But outside of him, unbeknownst to him, separate from him, God was going to do something great in his life. Wasn't today, and wasn't going to be tomorrow, but somewhere down the road in those months that he suffered, there was going to be a conclusion of this. And God changed everything. Therefore, he had objective hope. Now, there's another kind of hope, and that's subjective hope. That gets into looking at the inner dynamic of the believer, what they're experiencing, what they're thinking, all inside of their soul. And that's the way we normally look at it. Like, hope is a very powerful mental attitude. It can transform your whole life. In fact, faith isn't so much a mental attitude as hope is. Hope is the mental attitude toward the future. So here we are walking along in life. Here's our thought processes going on. Here's the future up here. I caught it, didn't I? 10 minutes late. So we look at the future. So what's our attitude toward the past? What's some of the negative attitudes that people have toward the past? Would regret be one? Shame? And then what's our attitude towards the future? What we got right now, by the way, is right now. We don't have the past anymore. We're not in the future. So all we have is the present. So now, if we have to live in the present, then everything about our mental attitude becomes very important, because that's what we're living in the present. Not in the past, not in the future. And a hope deals with the future. It's a mental attitude that good things are going to happen to you. That's what hope is. It's a confident expectation that good awaits you in the future. I won't know what good awaits me in the future, but if I can have confidence that hope gives me, is whatever holds in the future is going to be good. And how I can determine that is the nature and character of God. What kind of a God is he? How does he deal with me and everybody else? Well, that's an important question to ask. How is God going to deal with us? What's the nature of his dealings? Is he standing around with a big stick ready to smack us? Well, smack away, because all we do is things that are wrong. No, there's something about God that is brought out in Matthew 7. Ask, seek, and knock. Keep on asking, and you will receive. Keep on seeking, you will find. And in those is God's grace to you. But here's the nature of this, is whatever is to your advantage, whatever benefits you. So now, as I'm looking toward the future, and I have queries in my mind about what lies ahead for me, and it gets scary. It scares me. I don't know, maybe it'll scare you. It scares me when I see these criminal Satanists running our country into the ground. It's scary when there's 800,000 coming across the border in Texas and Arizona. And I'm sure if we were family people down in those towns, do you want your kids walking the street to school when they have that to deal with? So we have to have some kind of hope. And the hope is that good things await me in the future. Because the God of hope, who's my God, whatever he does for me will benefit me. It'll be to my profit, to my advantage. And that's what we have here in verse 13. May the God of hope, and is put like that because it denotes his very existence. He's a God of hope. He's a God of love, we know that. He's a God of peace, the God of truth. So these concepts make up the warp and woof of God. And so God is a God of hope. And we can confidently say that he's going to do these things, because that's the way he is. Whatever he does for us, to us, through us, is going to benefit us in some way. So, as you look toward the future of your life, because every one of us have to do this, because I look at it like this. Here's my little stick figure. Here he is walking. Now you notice there's nothing behind him and there's nothing in front of him. Why? There's nothing in front. Why? Because he's not there yet. There's nothing behind him. This is a little trail going down, falling down like that, because he's already passed that part of the trail. So, as our little stick figure is sitting here or walking, He is only living in the now. And in the now, he wants to look ahead. What does the future hold? Sounds like that old song, Que Sera, Sera. What shall I be? What does the future hold? And her mother told her, what will be, will be. And it's the same thing for all of us. We know some things about the future, getting past our temporal life. At the end of life, we're going to be with Christ. At the end of all that, we get to live forever. So it's a joyous future that we have awaiting us. And he says, may the God of hope fill you all, it's in the plural, all believers, with all joy and peace. So God wants our souls to be filled with joy and peace instead of fear and worry and anger and all of that stuff. He wants us to be joyful and peaceful. And I like the way the NIV translated this, is as you trust in him. Literally in Greek, in the sphere of faith. So in the sphere of faith, God will fill us with all joy and peace. Now, one thing I can do, and this gets back into living the faith rest life, take Romans 8:28. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. Now, we look around a society at different people living under bridges or what have you. And we say, well, it didn't work out good for them. So we seem to borrow their experience and bring it into our own world. But there are some things wrong with that. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Not for the others. As you notice, it's a pretty specific statement. All things work together for good to that group of people who love God. He turns it around. So if we go through bad, he makes it come out good. Now I can take this particular verse right here, hang on to it, think about it and believe it, and it gives me faith. It gives me faith towards the future. And that's what we all need. We need faith and confidence towards the future. I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. That's a saying that's been around for years. And it ought to be our saying as believers in Christ. Some of the things they say out there are not undoctrinal. So how do I master this? Well, I get into Romans 8:28. I start reading it, memorizing it, absorbing it, thinking about it. And somewhere along the line, it'll penetrate my hard heart. And I sit there and accept it without question. Wait a minute. God's going to cause us to work together for good. God's going to work this out. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he always does, always has, always will. So all I need to do is just trust him. Trust him that he's going to turn this around. I've known people in this church been through divorces, and it was pretty shattering. And if you talk to them at the time, there's no hope, no life, no nothing good is going to come out of this. But down the road, guess what? Turns it around. Then you realize that what happened to you is something that God allowed to happen to you for your benefit. Everything is for our benefit. Little children are for our benefit. The adults who get to raise them is for their benefit. think about your life, that everything that goes on in your life is for your benefit. So when it says he's the God of hope, it means that how he deals with you is in such a way that it gives you the subjective hope that you need. And by the way, subjective hope is that inner dynamic, right? It's your thinking towards the future. You can have subjective hope by the objective hope. And what is objective hope? It's what God is going to do for you apart from your knowledge or power. And because he's going to bless you in the future, you can have subjective hope today. And that's what we want to focus in on. Is today may be a lousy day. It's a lousy day for me because I don't feel good. And that's my fault, I'm sure. But I know that God's going to bless the future. Father, we thank you for the study. We ask your blessing in Christ's name. Amen.